Alabama, Messiah. Oh, and change. Are you better off than you were 7 years ago? I'm just curious because the Messiah brought the hope and the change. All I bring is the truth. I bring trigger warnings, and I chase away safe spaces.
You can scream and shout with all your might.
You can scream, shout, whine, cry, sniffle, piss, moan, look for a safe space.
Dig in your heels and hold on tight.
You shove your opinions up your ass. That way Obama's cock has something to keep it company. Don't forget the ever-present and third option. I am drinking a martini. That's the third option. How is it almost 7 o'clock already? Where'd the day go? I am the Great One himself. And this is Stating the Obvious Podcast. It is the weapons platform from which I launch the cruise missile of my intellect that homes in on every stupid, stupid, motherfucking statist all around the world. Oh, everywhere you go, there's a statist. It doesn't matter what country you go to. Any place you go, you're going to find statist. You're going to find people who say things,
well, without the government, who would build the roads?
And
we need the government to make it illegal to kill people. Otherwise, everybody would run down the street killing each other.
No, only you would run down the street killing other people. And you wouldn't do that very long because at some point, you'd run into somebody else who had a gun and they'd shoot you. And natural selection would take place. The only thing government is actually needed to do is to circumvent natural selection and make sure that inferior people continue to breed and populate the earth. I am the Great One himself. I am the founder of the Cynical Libertarian Society, been on the internet since 1999, been podcasting for 11 years. Don't want to hear about your podcast you started last month. Go fuck yourself. And I do have a martini in my hand. And today is the 5th of April, what month is it? 2016. I'm still writing 2015 on shit. In the control room is the lovely and adorable Randy. She is looking lovely and adorable. And we are here in the People's Republic of Fort Collins, where it's windy as fuck outside. I've seen windier, actually. It's not a fart joke. Fart jokes are funny when you're a man, but it's not a fart joke. It is windy as fuck. I've seen worse, but it still sucks. I'd ride my bike in it today for a little bit. Well, I didn't have to. I didn't have to do anything. Choose to do what I want to do. I mean, within reason. I have to keep metabolizing oxygen and carbon dioxide. That's not optional. Let me just throw this out real quick before I go back to discussing the book Datanomics. This is Silence is brought to you courtesy of the book Datanomics, How Dating Became a Lopsided Numbers Game by John, J-O-N, whose last name I still don't know how to pronounce correctly, B-I-R. G-E-R. John is on the Twitterverse. He sent me a tweet today. What the fuck did he tweet? I think I just deleted the notification. He said something to the part. He retweeted the link to episode 3. The shittiest episode. Thanks, John. You asshole. Thanks a lot, buddy. The shittiest episode in the whole series is the one that you retweet. Episode 4, which comes out tomorrow as I'm recording this, but will have come out the day before you hear this. Oh, there you, that's fucked up, right? Like, what the fuck is he talking about? I'm recording this podcast on Tuesday. It'll come out on Friday. But part 4 of this series will come out on Wednesday, tomorrow. Part 4 is probably the best one so far. And he retweets part 3, which is the shittiest. Which just goes to show you can't fucking win, man. I get a fucking retweet from the author of the book I'm discussing, and he retweets the shittiest one in the whole series. Ah, well. I mean, I'm not complaining. It was, anyway, he sent me a tweet. He said something like, part 3, ! I didn't know there was a part 2. Good thing I think any publicity is, or good thing, it's good that I think all publicity is good publicity, or something like that. So, I mean, it was cool. I tweeted back. I said something to the effect of, hey, man, I'm doing what I can to sell copies of the book. So, anyway, that was nice. That was cool. And again, let me emphasize, because, yeah, I know I'm, like, ripping on the book and disagreeing. This is a very good book. I do absolutely recommend you read the book. He is clearly a skilled writer. I don't think I've read anything else he's written unless I read it and just don't remember he was the author. Right. But I mean, this is a very well-written book. It's interesting. It's easy to read. It's got good information. It's got good data. You know, it's very solid. I disagree with many of his conclusions. I disagree with much of his analysis of the data. But it's great data. It's an important topic. It's an interesting topic. It's well written. It's a very good book. It's an excellent book. I don't have any personal hatred for the guy. Even I know I sound like it sometimes, I'm sure, because I'm ranting and shit, and that's what I do. That's my shtick. It's a great book. It's a really fucking good book. You should read the fucking book. Okay, trust me on this. And as I've explained to you people before, in an attempt to educate the stupid, which I know I can't do, is that you don't learn anything by reading books that you agree with everything in the fucking book, right? You learn by reading books that present opinions, analysis, conclusions different from the ones you've reached. And if the book is well written, then, like as this one is, it presents data and it explains how the author came to his conclusions, all this other stuff, and it forces you to think. Okay, and even if you continue to disagree, you've at least had to encounter an opposing point of view, and you've had to muddle your way through it and reason your way through it and say, okay, here's this opposing point of view, and here's the evidence this person has for his opposing point of view. And now, how do I reconcile? He's got this evidence, you know, how do I examine his evidence? Do I believe his evidence, not believe it? And all, you have to go through all, well, you don't have to. You don't have to do fucking shit. Most of you just believe whatever's on the television, and that's why natural selection says you should be dead. However, the government keeps you alive, because if everybody was like me, there would be no government, because nobody would want the government, need the government, vote for the government. It's only those of you who are inferior, you know, such as 40-year-old women in New York who can't figure out why you can't find a boyfriend, that the government exists. Anyway, the other thing I was going to talk about very briefly, as I have another drink of martini. And this ties into, I can't convince you, that's why I'm not here to convince you, ranting on this podcast, because I want to, not because I'm going to save you. You can't tell people stuff. So this is a very long story, and it's very compressed. Many years ago, person worked at a company I work at. Person stole from the company. Company fired her. This person goes forth. This person becomes a CPA. This person starts doing book work for other people, some of whom are friends of mine. I say to these people, hey, this person who's doing your book work, the company I work for over here, we fired her because she was stealing from the company. And, you know, of course, they just looked at me like I was a stupid, because, of course, she couldn't possibly be a thief because she has a vagina, right? I mean, women couldn't possibly be. So anyhow, long story short, some roosters have come home. Do roosters come home to roost, or do just chickens? Well, the thing is, chickens come home to roost. Is it roosters, or is it hens, or can it be both? Some gender neutral, some transsexual chickens have come home to roost, and oh, there might be some financial problems with this person that I warned other people that she was a thief, but nobody listened, And now, suddenly, money can't be accessed anymore, and information is lost, and stuff, and oh my god. And we didn't see this coming, because no, of course you didn't see it, because when I warned you, you chose to shove your head up your ass and play the vagina card, because, but she's a girl! She can't be a vagina! And this is why I don't try to warn people. I don't try to convert people. I don't try to persuade people. Right, I've gotten the analogy before. You're standing on the train tracks, and there's a train coming at you, and I look up and go, hey, yo, dude, there's a train coming. You might want to get off the train tracks. And you look at me and you say, there's not a train coming. See, I'm done. Some people would try to convince you there's a train. Some people would say, well, no, like turn around 180 degrees and look. You'll see the train. There's light bouncing off of the train and coming back in this direction, and that light will hit your eyes and your brain will interpret it, and you'll see that there's a train coming. See, I'm not doing that. I don't do that. Not doing that. I recognize that I can't save, fix, convince, persuade other people. I can't. You get one warning, and we're done. You know, I'll mention to you, I'm not going to completely ignore it. I'm going to say, hey, man, there's a train coming. You might want to get off the track. I'm not just going to stand there and let it hit. But one warning, man, that's it. You get one fucking shot. And if you want to stand there and tell me there's no train, if you want to tell me that the government will never take money out of your bank account without your permission, if you want to tell me the government would never put Japanese people in concentration camps, oh wait, that happened. I mean, if you want to tell me that the government would never put Indians on reservations, oh shit, wait, that happened. If you want to tell me the government would never legalize black people being slaves, ah, fuck, that happened. I mean, okay, but if you want to tell me that the government would never pass a law that says you have to turn runaway slaves back into their masters, oh fuck, that was a law. Anyway, if you want to tell me that the government would never fake the Gulf of Tompkins in order to get involved in a war, oh shit, that happened. But if I were to tell you that the government would allow the Japanese to attack Pearl Harbor even though they had previous oh fuck, that happened also. Shit. But you're right, you can totally trust the government. And if I ever say to you that you shouldn't trust the government, you should never ever believe me, because clearly I have no fucking idea what I'm talking about. Damn, that's a good martini. That's the first martini I've had in a while. It's delicious. All right. Speaking of things I'm talking about, let's get back to the book. Because I intend to wrap this up. There's no way we're going to finish it in this one. So I'm anticipating there will be a part 6. This is part 5 in the series. I anticipate there will be a part 6. I don't know that for a fact, but I think it's pretty likely because... Wait, am I really only this far in? Page 86. Did I read this? Oh yeah, this is because I left off where he didn't blame Hansen for... He doesn't blame women for their own problems, and I extensively made fun of that. Because, of course, no, God forbid we ever hold a woman responsible for anything that happens to her in her life, right? I mean, for example, if you warn women that their CPA is a crook and they don't listen and then their CPA steals from them, it can't possibly be their fault. No, no. See, it's never a woman's fault. Never. Women have no responsibility. Even when you warn them, the person who is your CPA was fired from a company for stealing and embezzling money. No, no. See, when this person then steals their money, it's not their fault. Of course not. How can you possibly hold a woman responsible for anything that happens to her? She has a vagina. Cannot be responsible or accountable for a fucking thing. Okay, let's get rolling here. Ah, shit, I just realized something I forgot to do. Has nothing to do with this podcast, it's just me being whiny. Alright, page 90, we're on page 92. Second full paragraph. For instance, Hendrix believed that the shortage of men had intensified competition among New York women. Well, yes. Again, supply and demand. This is something where women like, why? I think the fact that there's less men than women might mean there's an intensification in competition among women. Jesus fucking Christ. Really? Whoa! You must have a college degree. I mean, yes. Yes, honey. When there's fewer men than women, there will be more intense competition between women for the reduced resources of the men. This is called supply and demand. The fact that this has to be explained. And by the way, John, whose last name I can't pronounce correctly, is my understanding. I could be wrong, I've done extensive research. My understanding is that he is, I don't know if I want to say he's an economist, but he writes about economic issues. And so that is sort of the perspective he brings to this book. Again, like I said, his data is very good because he's looking at it. I said his analysis completely wrong because he's a beta male. So his analysis of the people is completely wrong. But his analysis of the data, because he understands economics, he understands math, he understands supply and demand, is right on course. So anyhow, yes, supply and demand, honey, that's how this works. For instance, Hendrix believed that the shortage of men had intensified competition among New York women. Duh. It was an observation other single men shared with me as well. Quote, they're always looking for a chance to tear each other down. Oh, wait, Hendrix must be a guy. No, wait, Hendrix exploited the man. No, Hendrix is some guy. It's not a chick. Never mind. Okay, so this guy is just as dumb as anybody else. I mean, he doesn't know economics either. Sorry, I'm making fun of women when I should be making fun of stupid men. I apologize for that, girls. As I pointed out before, just because I make fun of women for not understanding math, economics, and supply and demand and logic, that doesn't mean that men get it either. Men are just as stupid. If not more stupid, because I don't expect women to understand math, economics, supply and demand, logic. That's not really their realm. But I expect men to be able to understand that. So I think it's more of an insult. Insult's not the word. It's more of a character flaw. That's what I'm looking for. When a man isn't smart enough to understand supply and demand, it's a character flaw, and a severe one. When a woman doesn't understand supply and demand, it's natural, right? It's like a fish swims in the water, right? It's natural. It's biology. You don't expect a woman to understand economics. When a man doesn't understand economics, he's just a major moron. Anyhow, let me shut the fuck up and let's get back to reading. Quote, they're always looking for a chance to tear each other down, unquote, Hendrix said. This happens in the animal world, too. People are animals, just a reminder. But red male phalanthropes, not sure what that is, it's okay, do not go out of their way to provoke infighting among the females. Hendrix does that exactly. He told me that one of his favorite first date... So, listen, players, player wannabes, listen up. This is classic. He told me that one of his favorite first date activities for winning a woman's trust and getting her into bed was sitting with her at a sidewalk bar or cafe and partaking in some ill-natured people watching. Remember, boys and girls, who is it women want to fuck? Women want to fuck the alpha male. Okay, quote, so some girl walks by and I'll say, Oh my god, did you see that trashy dress? What the hell is she thinking? He explained, quote, it creates rapport immediately just by making fun of other girls in the city, unquote. Well, again, what have I told you? What have other people? There is nobody who hates women more than other women. All of feminism is based on women who are not good at being women hating other women. Right? What have I said 100 fucking times? When women say to other women, oh, honey, you're so skinny, you need to eat a sandwich. Oh, honey, you would look so cute if you had shorter hair. You should cut your hair off. You'd look so cute. This is women trying to make other women uglier than they are in order to reduce their competition for men. That's all it is. Women hate other women. Again, folks, I've talked before. I have 6 people that I consider my close friends that I call up as, hey, let's go out and get a beer, whatever. 5 of them are women. And all 5 of them pretty much tell me outright they cannot stand other women. If you're friends with women and they've never been honest enough with you to tell you that they hate other women, then you're not good friends with them. It's just a fact. If you become good enough friends, and this is not some euphemism for fuck buddies or anything. Okay, these are friends. I have not had sex with them. I'm not saying I wouldn't have sex with them. I would have sex with some of them. I might have sex with some of them. I haven't. But I'm telling you, if you become good enough friends with a woman, if you have some fucking communication skills and you talk to them and all this other shit, you will discover eventually they will admit to you how much they hate other women. Women absolutely fucking hate and despise other women. Let's get back to reading. My friend Amy Willis is a 42-year-old single woman who probably knows the Manhattan dating market better than Warren Buffett knows the stock market. Whatever. If she knows the dating market so well, why doesn't she have a boyfriend? Or maybe she does. I don't know. We'll find out. We'll find out. When I told her about Hendrick's first date tactic, Willis was stunned. Stunned not only that the strategy worked, but that a run-of-the-mill guy would know enough to try it. Okay, first of all, if you're a woman and you're stunned that that would work, you're either really stupid or you're lying. Every woman alive knows that this works. Okay? And this is what I'm talking about. This is where I disagree with the author of the book, John, whose last name I can't pronounce correctly. See, this is why, when he writes that she was, no, she wasn't, John, she was not stunned. When she says to you she's stunned, she was lying. She knows that this works. She knows that women hate other women. She knows that women spend 30 to 50% of their waking hours tearing down other women. She knows this. And the fact that you don't recognize she's lying to you tells me, John, that not that you're a bad person, John, but it tells me that you don't have any female friends. Women spend 30 to 50% of their waking hours tearing down other women. Maybe not directly, maybe not overtly, but it is one of the most important things in their lives. This is not an opinion. Anybody who is good friends with women will verify what I'm saying. And yes, I know, God fucking damn it. I know. You know this one woman who isn't like that. Yes, I know you do. So do I. I'm not talking about the one woman. I'm talking about the 3.5 billion, okay? Fucking Christ, Junior. Okay, and furthermore, she doesn't know that a run-of-the-mill guy would know enough to do this. Right, because, you know, us men, we're all so fucking stupid. We couldn't possibly know anything about female nature. We couldn't possibly know anything about how women are. We're all so goddamn dumb, right? We have penises. We are so stupid. All we do is sit around and talk about bacon and boobies. Oh my god, I got some bacon the other day. Oh my god, and did you see that football? Oh my god, and the quarterback, he like threw the ball. And oh my god, I'd love to have some bacon right now. Like some bacon would be awesome. Hey, do you guys want to go to the nudie bar and look at titties? And maybe they'll have a special on bacon and we can watch football. Right? I mean, I know that you think, because you have a vagina, I know that you women all think men are all stupid. Somehow or another, as men who are stupid have managed to, you know, I don't know, come up with electricity, engineering, nuclear power, aircraft, computers, roads, cell phones, all this, but we're so fucking stupid. We're just so fucking stupid, aren't we? Oh, god damn it, we're fucking stupid. Gosh, we're just so stupid. If only we were as smart as you women are. Fucking Christ. God, this is a good martini. Alright. Quote, "Honestly, it's very fucked up, but also true," unquote, said Willis, a wedding planner who pins a dating blog in her free time. I'm gonna write a blog about dating. Sorry, that was just too much. Quote, "He's trying to relate with women." He's not trying, he is. He's fucking them on the first date. That's not trying, honey. That's not trying. If you're fucking a woman on the first date, you're not trying. Right here it says, one of his favorite first date activities for winning a woman's trust and for getting her into bed. It implies he's fucking some of them on the first date. Okay, that's not trying. That's achieving. Okay, let's go back to the quote from Willis, the wedding planner who pins a dating blog. See, this is what happens when my brain gets ahead of my mouth, which is frequently. Quote, he's not trying, he is, there is no try, you do or you do not, Yoda said that shit, Yoda's a motherfucker. Okay, bitch, if you listen to fucking Yoda, your life will get better. He's trying to relate with a woman the way a lot of them relate with each other, by putting other women down, unquote. Yes, that's what women do at their time, is they put each other down. If you have female friends, you know this. It is a fact. Women insult each other. Page 95. Third full paragraph over to the break. All right, let's do this. 1, 2, 3. Oh, I have to count. Jesus Christ. I did math. I just counted. I just oppressed a woman somewhere. That was patriarchy. Perhaps the craziest Manhattan dating story I heard in this vein came from Jennifer Cook, a 40-year-old, she's 40 years old, there, right into the wall, your divorcee, 40 years old and divorced, hitting the wall, from Georgia, whose husband left her not long after they moved to New York 15 years ago. Why you would leave Georgia and go to New York, I don't know, so she's also insane. 40 years old, divorced, and insane. I met Cook at a Manhattan cocktail party that could have been an advertisement for this book. I counted a half dozen beautiful, again, there's no pictures. I don't know what this guy calls beautiful, but I promise you it's not that good looking. Beautiful, ultra-successful single women at this party versus only one unattached man. And if there's a dozen of them and this one unattached man, why didn't he go home with one of these girls? I mean, maybe he did. I wasn't there. But again, ultra successful. Again, I cannot emphasize this enough. If you haven't listened to parts 1, 2, and 3, and 4, let me emphasize again. Because this cannot be repeated enough times for the benefit of you women. Men do not give a fuck about your career. It does not fucking matter. Okay? Let me explain this yet again. Let me explain this yet again. Because you see, I can't convince you. I can't persuade you. I can't warn you. I know that I can't do it. But if I can just save one woman out there from being unhappy, from dying alone, it's worth it for me to try. Girls, let me explain to you for the first time in your life, unless you listen to Aaron Clary, the truth. Here's how this works. You as a woman, the most important thing you want from a man, stop lying, that this is the no spin zone, right? There's no safe spaces here. This is trigger warning, everything. This is the truth. What you want from a man is resources. The most important thing to you in a man is how much money he has. Because how much money he has reflects how much resources he can give you. This is not evil. This is biology. Thus, you judge men by their education level, because education level is closely tied to income in today's current society, and you judge him by his job. Now, what you need to understand is that men don't work the same way. You have to understand that this is right. This is what I call the buffet phenomena. I've talked about this before. So if you walk up to a person and you say, hey, man, would you? So you're at a party. There's a big giant buffet, has all kinds of food, right? So if I walk up to a person and I say, yo, dude, go to the buffet and would you just grab me some really good food from the buffet? I'd appreciate it. Thanks. They say, yeah, sure. So they're going to go to the buffet and they're going to get the type of food they think is good. And this is completely subjective. This is not an objective thing. This is a subjective thing. Okay? If they like shrimp, they're going to get shrimp. And let's say they like chicken, they're going to get chicken. And then let's say they like green beans, they're going to get green beans. And they like Lay's potato chips, they're going to get Lay's potato chips. They're going to come. But they don't, I may not like those things. Right? But this person that I asked to go to the buffet for me, they don't know what I like. They don't have access to my subjective opinions. And it's the same thing with this. You women, you don't have access unless you've attempted to educate yourself, unless you've studied these things, you've read about these things, you've been friends with men, talked to me, yada, yada. You don't have access to what goes on in the male brain and how men look at women, yada, yada. And that's why I'm trying to explain to you. Men do not give a fuck about your career. What men value from a woman is I can't really put this in a couple of words, so it's because with women you can just boil it down to resources, but what kind of resources, right? Financial resources, yada, yada. With men, what we're looking for in a woman, what we want from a woman, is we ultimately to try to distill it down, because I can throw in like, you know, nice and sweet and all this other shit and cute and but ultimately what we want from a woman, and this is gonna sound really funny, two-faced, hypocritical, whatever to you. And I get that. That's why I'm pointing out. We want attention. We want a woman to be able to be with us. And, you know, you can phrase it another way and say that we want to be able to be with her. Most men, and again, I'm projecting, and yes, not all men are like that. Yeah. Okay. For the most part, what a man wants from a woman is we want her time. If I'm dating a woman, I want to be able to do things with her. I want to be able to, and more, not just fucking, yes, fucking, but not just fucking. Go do things. You go hiking, you go biking, you play board games, you go out and you drink hot tea at the tea shop, you go out, right? We want. The resource women want from men most is their money to get resources. The resources men want most from women is their time. We want to fucking be with you. Now, what woman are you more likely to be able to spend time with?
a woman who, I have a career. I work for a nonprofit and like, oh my God, like I have a degree in sociology and a degree in African American studies and I work for a nonprofit. I'm on Facebook and oh my God, I'm on Instagram all day long and I have a Snapchat and right. And she works, you know, 70, 80 hours a week, or a woman who is a waitress and works part-time 30 hours a week. I know it's hard for you to believe. This is the thing. You don't fucking understand that men don't give a shit about your career. But we don't. We want to spend time. We have our own career, right? We're at work 50 hours a week. We want to fucking leave work and spend time with you. Which I know some of you are like, why would you want to spend time with me? I'm a dumb bitch. Well, you have a point there. That might be why you're a 40-year-old divorcee from Georgia living in New York and you're single. I don't know. Try thinking about it. Oh wait, thinking, that's part of the patriarchy. Thinking was created to oppress women. We want to be able to spend time with you. And if you're spending 70 hours a week on your career, don't give a fuck, honey. Not interested. Again, I will take a waitress over a fucking doctor or a lawyer any goddamn day. Because I know I can spend some time with her. And that, ultimately, more than anything else, is what I want from a woman. Somebody that I can spend time with and that I enjoy spending time with. And that's where the nice, sweet, pleasant, laughs at my jokes, looks pretty part comes in. But if you can't spend time with her, it doesn't matter how nice and pretty she is. Ultimately, the ultimate most important thing in a woman from a man's perspective is, can we spend time together? Can she spend time to me? Spend time to me. God, I can't fucking talk. Can she spend time with me? And there's only room for one. Now, if she's the one who works 50, 60, 70 hours a week and he's a stay-at-home father, and when she's not at work, they can spend time. You know, I mean, that's not necessarily undoable. That is not necessarily undoable. But again, all of these women, I promise you, every one of these dumb bitches that John talks about in this book, if you ask them, they all want a man with as much college as they do. They all want a man that makes more money than they do. They all want a man who's 6'1" or taller. They all want a man who is very specifically, you know, 3 to 7 years older than... Yeah, no. It's just the fucking unrealistic expectations that you dumb broads have. And again, this is where I disagree with John. He doesn't call them out on this shit. Because I don't know if he really is just a brainwashed femisimp who has been so vagina-ized that he doesn't see this shit. Maybe he's trying to be not, I don't know. I do know, however, that this martini, if I can fucking talk, this martini is delicious. Oh, excellent. I got an email from my mother here. She's still alive. Her internet was down. It was like a major crisis. My mother could not get on Facebook for like 3 days. My mother, the Facebook attention whore. I kid you not. It was like a crisis. She couldn't get on Facebook. Anyway, the fuck? Am I done with that? I'm tangenting. That's what I do, though. All right, page 92. I did that. Page 95. Third full print. Oh, no, I'm not finished with this. Because I can't fucking focus. I have ADHD. I'm disabled. I need a fucking handicap parking plate on my car. Parking plate? Oh, God. All right, anyway, focus. This is going to be a long week. It's only Tuesday. All right. When Cook... All right, so remember, because it was like 17 days ago when I start... Jennifer Cook, she's the 40-year-old divorcee from Georgia, right? So he's at the party. There's half a dozen... That's six. Six ultra-successful, beautiful single women. And this poor one guy,
Again, if they were really... Dude, you put me in a room with six beautiful single women. Anyway. I'll either go home with one of them or embarrass myself. Or both. When Cook overheard me discussing my book research, she came over to share her favorite first date horror story. Also, notice how these women all focus on the negative. All they have is horror stories. I wonder why they're single. I can't figure it out. Anyway, one involving a drink date. What's a drink date? A drink date with a Wall Street trader. Okay, there's a warning. I am a trader on Wall Street. Again, how much personality can this guy possibly have? She went out with him because of the money factor. A Wall Street trader she met online. Oh my God. Oh, all right. Quote. I know, there's no more stigma attached to meeting people online, except that there is, because, as I said before, if you're a woman and you have to go on the internet to meet men, there's obviously something very wrong with you. If you're a woman and you're at least even remotely attractive, all you have to do is go outside and not be a bitch, right? Number one, go outside. Number two, put your cell phone in your pocket. Better yet, leave it at home. Number three, just don't be a bitch when men talk to you. Because if you're cute, men will talk to you. It's what we do. Quote, I walked into the bar and saw him sitting alone. He was the only guy sitting at a table. I went up to him and said, "Hi, I'm Jen." He looks up at me and says, "Oh, wow, you're not my body type at all." Those are the first words out of his mouth. I gave him this strange look and I said, "Oh, really?" The guy's response, "Have you ever thought about breast augmentation?" Wow, just wow. I love how women think wow is logical. All right, wow, she replied. "This is great because you just saved both of us a lot of time, but you're still going to buy me a drink." I wonder why women are regarded as only interested in money. You're still going to buy me a drink. You're still going to spend money on me. Now, is this guy an asshole? Yes. Does that obligate him to buy her a fucking drink? No, you're a strong, independent, fucking successful career woman, you fucking stupid cunt. Buy your own fucking drink. I still say, I have a career. I work for, I'm Fraser. I'm New York City. I work for a nonprofit. I'm so strong and independent. You're going to buy me a drink. Buy your own fucking drink, you fucking bitch. Is he an asshole? Absolutely. Yeah. Sure. Yeah. Now, hold it. They met online, so he didn't know that her tits were not big enough for him. So what kind of photos does she have on this online dating profile that he couldn't see how big her tits are? Are they photoshopped? What's up with that? Oh, but that's right. But women have no responsibility for them and him. And does he just have bad taste? Yes, because as we all know, if we've listened to this podcast for a while, I like women with small tits. Is this guy an asshole? Absolutely. Have I? Let me think for a second. Let's say that I did arrange a date with a woman and she showed up and her breasts were, I mean, in my case, I guess, you know, it could be too large. Because, again, I've never yet seen a woman whose tits were too small for me. Because that's just my personal subjective aesthetics. But honestly, like, chicks with really big tits, I think they're fucking gross. And that's my personal aesthetic. That's not an objective opinion. That doesn't mean she's a bad person. It doesn't mean she's ugly. There's other people, other men and other women, who, you know, because she might be lesbian, she might be gay, right? There are other people who find large breasts very attractive. And that's great. Now, would I say something to a chick about being fat? Absolutely. She can control fat. And yes, you can say, well, you can control titty size. Well, you can with breast surgery. But again, I've said it before, I'm sure. Saying it again now, I'm not a fan of the cosmetic surgery. Right? You know, nose jobs. No, look, if your breasts are large, your breasts are... No. All right, look, the point is to sit here and to insult a person by saying your tits are too large or too small or whatever. No, dude, just fucking shut the fuck up. You know, sit down, have a drink with the chick, have a conversation. And God damn, dude, just get the fuck over it. I mean, is the guy an asshole? Yes. Is he shallow? Yes. How did he not know her tits were small? Was that not on her dating profile? I don't know. Am I victim blaming to an extent? Let's move on. Because we got a lot of ground to cover. '95, that was that. Why is she... trying to decipher my notes that make no sense, as they often do. We're going on to page 109, first, second full paragraphs. Santa Clara County boasts the highest household median income in the country. I am not suggesting that median incomes there would be merely average, were it not for the shortage of women. It does appear, however, that the same phenomenon Wei and Zhang, whose names I'm mispronouncing, I'm sure, that's the Chinese people. Remember, they did the study that showed that men earn more money to impress women, yada, yada, observed for China. A scarcity of women producing higher levels of entrepreneurism and industriousness among men had also supercharged wealth creation in America's high-tech Mecca. Again, guys, people, fuck. This is so obvious and common sense for anybody who is not stupid. If there are more men than women, the men have to compete for the women with other men. To get the woman's attention, what are you going to focus on? You're going to focus on making more money. Why? Because what is most important to a woman? Despite, I know, shut the fuck up. Despite everything women say, despite what Oprah told you, despite what you're supposed to, what is truly more important to women than anything else? Resources. Financial, economic resources. When there are fewer women than men, and men must compete for the women, they will compete by trying to make more money, because the man with the most money is going to win the best women. This is common sense. The fact that John, whose last name I can't pronounce, had to write a book about this, explaining this to people, and furthermore, the fact that after he explains it so well in the book, people still don't believe it, illustrates how fucking stupid you people are. Okay, back to reading. Quote, "It's sort of like a prison," unquote, Patternsnack said in semi-jest. Quote, "In prison, guys have nothing else to do other than be hyper-competitive with each other about building the biggest muscles. In tech, with no women around, guys get hyper-competitive about building the biggest bank accounts," unquote. So hyper-competitive that, according to the research firm Wealth Engine, there are now 91,000... Girls, listen up. Girls, listen up. There are now 91,000... That's 91,000 millionaires living in San Jose, the equivalent of 10% of the city's total population. Girls, I do believe you should be going to San Jose. Just throwing that out there. 91,000 1,000 millionaires. That's, you know what? That's actually, I wonder how many of them are homosexual, because $1 million. Can I swallow cum for $1 million? You know, every man has their price. Everybody has their price. All right, page 117. Last full paragraph. Oh, this is where we get into, so chapter 6 about the Mormons and the Jews. I mean, the whole book is good, but this is a very fascinating chapter. I was amazed by some of the stuff presented here. This was excellent. Anyway, 117. Times have changed, and that is a good thing, especially the fading away of cruel taboos that stigmatized women who engaged in premarital sex or bore children out of wedlock. Oh, yes. How dare. See, and this is where the feminists are. How dare we stigmatize women who bear children out of wedlock and therefore become fucking parasites on every man across the nation via taxation, wealth redistribution, welfare, food stamp. You know, this whole fucking thing where we need to let single women just spit out as many fucking puppies as they want to, and we need to keep giving them welfare. Jesus fucking Christ, dude. John, grab your fucking ball sack. You're a fucking economist. How long do you think the fucking welfare, wealth redistribution bullshit can last? I mean, what kind of fucking economic writer are you? What kind of economist are you? Just the stigma, the cruel taboos that stigmatized women who bore children out of wedlock. Oh my God, how dare we expect women to fucking get married to a man and have babies by the man they're married to, and for the man who fathers the babies to actually pay for them. Oh, Jesus fucking Christ. The goddamn oppression. The oppression that you poor fucking privileged, spoiled fucking white women from North America have to endure. Jesus fucking Christ. On a stick. Why should you bother with the other side? I don't bother with the other side. I'm always right. Fuck you. We'll be back for part 6 soon. Suck a dick.